is going to be such a wonderful show today. I've got so much exciting information to pass along to you. But before I do, I've got a little story I just must tell you. This was a little news story on the Internet, MSNBC News, and it's a story about a parrot that got lost. This parrot flew out of his cage, he got lost, and he didn't know how to get back, and so what he did was exactly what he had been taught to do. He recited his name and address to a stranger who was willing to help. So the police rescue this little African gray parrot from a neighbor's home. Now this story is taking place in Tokyo. And so after spending a night at the police station, by the way, the parrot was mum at this point. He said nothing to any police officer. So they transferred him to the veterinary hospital. Figuring the veterinarian could find some clues as to where this parrot belonged. Well, after a few days with the vet, the parrot just started chatting away, and he says, "I'm Mr. Yosuko Nakamura." That's what he told the veterinarian. Well, he then provides his full home address down to the street number and even entertained the hospital staff by singing songs. Parrot sounds adorable, doesn't he? So the veterinarian checks the address, and what do you know? The family's there. And so he says, "We found Yosuko." So the Nakamura family, this is the interesting part and why I had to tell you this story. So the Japanese family tells the police that they had been teaching the bird its name and address for about 2 years. And I want you just to think about this for a second. Just think about this family taking this little parrot and very patiently teaching this parrot his name and address. It takes 2 years to do this. And you can just imagine the amount of time and the intensity and the dedication. They loved this parrot. So the parrot doesn't just speak to anybody. He speaks to the people who he believes are going to help him. And, you know, it got me thinking about our spiritual life. I know you might say, well, what in the world does a parrot, finding a lost parrot, have to do with your spiritual life? Well, what it is the patience and the dedication that this family pursued because they believed something was important. And if your spiritual life is important and where you are going in your spiritual life, if that is important, then you got to give the necessary attention to it, even if it means that you've got to be dedicated enough to give the time necessary every day to get the answers. And the answers aren't going to come from anyone. In other words, the parrot just didn't go to the police when he was taken to the police, start talking to him and revealing his information. No, he waited till he got to the veterinarian. This person that he trusted, who felt that he had a rapport with creatures, with birds, with animals, and here was the one that he was going to talk to and plead his case, so to say, so he can get back to his owner. And when I thought about this, I again thought of our spiritual mission, our owner, the creator of all, God, Source. How are we going to get back to Source unless we communicate with those who have our best interest at heart? And so it made me realize that, well, not realize, because I really do believe this, but I thought the story illustrated this. We have such great support in our angels, the archangels, the spiritual hierarchy. They're doing things today that they haven't done in quite this means. I mean, they're channeling books. They're having conference calls. You can pick up the telephone and be inspired with messages from these great beings. And so here's a little story about a lost parrot, and perhaps at some point we might feel lost. And so it is the story of dedication. So, my friends, I rest my case with this. Enjoy the story. The little unexpected parrot that was able to give enough information so he could find his way home. So I understand that we have a caller, and we will get to our caller now before we get on with this incredibly interesting show that we have today. And so we had a caller waiting, and who is the caller?
This is Tony.
Oh, hi, Tony.
Hi.
What can we do for you, Tony?
Oh, it's so great to talk to you.
Wasn't that an interesting little story?
That was. That was so, so interesting.
I just chuckled when I read that, thinking about this little parrot giving his name and address.
No.
Before we get to your story, Tony, just let me tell you one thing. We went on vacation one time, and I had little kids. I had five little kids. They were all stair steps. And the youngest one, we were staying at this apartment in this resort, so I wrote her name and the address of this apartment where we were staying and pinned it on her shirt. And we're getting out of the car. We're taking the things from the car into the apartment. I mean, we don't even have our things out of the car yet.
Right.
And there is this police officer bringing her to the apartment because already she had run off. So take care, friends. All the things that are important to you, you keep your leash on them.
That's right.
So what can we do for you, Tony?
Well, I'm kind of feeling stuck in my spiritualness. I'm just wondering if you might be able to open up anything for me, or maybe...
We'll do the best we can, Tony. Tell me, how do you feel stuck? Where is it that you feel stuck?
I'm getting these, I know I should be meditating, and I can't. I don't know why I can't. It's just, I feel blocked and stuck.
Mm-hmm.
I did join yoga, which I'm hoping that, you know, maybe, something will come out and, you know, just grab me or something. But that's what I'm feeling. I'm kind of feeling stuck in that, you know. I want to do more, you know. And
yes.
I
would suspect from what you're saying, Tony, your soul is giving you a nudge.
Mm-hmm.
And we come to Earth. I always say, nobody gave us an operational manual. They sent us here. We've forgotten everything.
Yes.
We've
got
all this mastery behind us. They stick us here, and we're supposed to know what we're supposed to do.
That's right.
I mean, I think I probably have an operational manual in my back pocket, but I can't get my hand in the back to pull it out and read it. And what is happening now, Tony, with you and others, as you know, this is the time this is the time to awaken. And your soul is giving you this nudge. And now, before we try and help you with going to the cherubim and seeing something about this, what I would like to know is, you say you're having trouble meditating.
Mm-hmm.
What is it about meditation that is giving you difficulty? Is it that you don't know how? Is it you're not getting results? Is it that you don't have the discipline to sit down and do it?
No, I do. I have the discipline to sit down and do it. It's I don't get the results. I don't know if I'm doing it right. If I do it at night, I fall asleep.
Join the club.
I don't know if I'm not getting anywhere. I want more. You know, I want it to be more. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm just impatient.
No, you said it perfectly.
Right.
You want more.
Right.
There
right.
is a thirst inside of you, and you know that you want more. There is something inside of you that is telling you, number one, that there is more.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not finding it to the point that it is satisfying you, and so you feel stuck.
Right.
Okay. A few things about meditation. In the very beginning, we need props of some sort. Mm-hmm. And what some people do is they will play a piece of music, and they, when it's time, you see, the body has to be sort of like reminded that we're going to do this.
Right.
And how do you remind it? Well, people have a lot of things that they do. Some people will light a candle. Some people will play music that will take you to the alpha state.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of good records that will do that. For instance, Stephen Halpern, are you familiar with his music?
No, I'm not.
Well, go to Amazon and look up Stephen Halpern, H-A-L-P-E-R-N, and on their CDs, they will give you the opportunity to listen to a little bit of his music.
Okay.
This music takes you to the alpha state. And we are in beta right now because we're talking to one another, and this has to do with the brain waves. And so when we're talking to one another, it's very hard to meditate. You have to go to a higher state where the brain waves are slowed up somewhat, and music is one thing that will help. So you find a piece of music that you like, and this is just one thought. I mean, there's many.
Right.
But if you play that particular song each time you sit down to meditate, it's like the body is being trained. Okay, guys, we're coming up to the point where something's going to happen here.
Right.
Now,
almost like a habit type
thing.
Yeah,
it's exactly what it is.
Right.
And now some people use flower essences.
Mm-hmm.
Lavender flower essence is one that is healing and will help put people in the mood.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, when you smell that, there is something very healing and peaceful about lavender. I have lavender sitting on my desk all the time, and periodically I will pull it out and just inhale it.
Right.
You can also put a drop on the small of your wrist.
Mm-hmm.
So, see, these things, it depends on what the person's makeup is. Also, I mean, some people are clairaudient. They hear things. They're clairvoyant. They see things. And each person has a different way that they are engineered, so to speak. Now, what some people do, Caroline Allen, she was a hostess of mine that, a partner of mine that used to work with me on Saturday. She has since crossed over, but she had a marvelous way, I think, of meditating. What she would do is she would look at a candle. Now, this is in the beginning. See, after the body knows how to do this, you don't have to do any of this stuff. You just go right to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a training period. So she would light a candle, and she would look at the flame. Have you ever done this?
I've done it once before.
Okay,
yes.
You look at the flame,
mm-hmm.
and you peer into the flame, and then you close your eyes. And then in your third eye, you try to duplicate what you saw.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that picture, see, this is helping your body to concentrate and to see the image, but very much so concentrating. So then if you can't see that flame of that candle in the third eye, then you open up your eyes, and you look at the candle again. And you do this a couple times. Until when you close your eyes, you can project the sight of that candle in the third eye. Have you ever done it that way?
No. So you're actually training your third eye to visualize. Am I right?
Exactly.
Okay.
All of this is training. And mm-hmm. there's a lot of techniques. But you have to find the one that fits you. Now, the candle might be something that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
There is another thing is emotion. Emotion is extreme. Well, and now this is my point of view. Emotion is extremely important. Everything is based upon the emotion of love. That is going to open up the psychic centers, make connection to the higher mind. And this is because the only emotion that Creator has is love. And it is the things that help to open up the higher mind, the gateway to the monad. It is the emotion. Now, people might say, well, I understand what love is. Well, yeah, from the standpoint of an analytical state, of course, we all understand what love is, but one must feel it. Now, what you do is think of some time when you really felt love. One of the things that, well, two things that really gets me there right away is some beautiful sight in nature. You know, a beach, a mountain, flowers, a spring. You might even want to, like, go out in into some park where these beautiful things are and look at them and think of them from the point of view of love and feel that emotion. It is the feeling of that emotion that's very important. Sometimes when I look at a child, you know, these children are so adorable. They're innocent. They have this great wonder, this great desire to play. They want to understand everything. And I cannot hear the giggle of a child without getting into the same state. It is
right.
They bring this emotion of love. Well, you try and duplicate that feeling.
Right.
And so you take your candle, if that works for you, you play your music, if that works for you, and you feel that emotion. You duplicate it. Maybe you have some event in your life where you felt very loved and cared for. Think of that event. You get the emotion. You then carry that emotion. It sounds difficult, but it's not. It's really very easy. You just carry that emotion into this meditative state, knowing you are cared for and loved, knowing that the Creator is love. There is no reason for you not to be able to open up the door and see what's behind the doorway. Now, sometimes, there's another thing that happens here. Sometimes when people try and meditate, or they're just beginning to meditate, there is an anxiety. Oh, I can't do it. Am I going to do it? I wasn't successful here. And you see, that's the thinking brain.
Yeah.
That's not the spiritual side of the brain. And I know it's hard to do this, but you have to try to forget all of that. Like, that's not important. This talk, this back talk that you get when you're trying to walk through this spiritual path is just hindering you. What you really want to do is trust. Just trust. So you play your beautiful music, you look at your candle, you feel the emotion of love, and trust that you're going to get there, that God is love, God will meet you there, your guides are there working with you, and it'll happen.
Right. Well, I keep saying to myself, you know, all is in divine timing, and when it's time for me, it's time for me. Carolyn, I'm just so impatient.
Carolyn, I really do think that it's time for you. This is the time. This is the answers that I'm getting from everyone, that this is the time.
Yes.
I'm going to see who I should call in. Tony, have you listened to this show before?
Yes.
Okay. Well, what I'm going to do is see who I can... Not just who I can call in, because I can call in any one of the masters. I want to see who would be the one, the most appropriate one for you, and I'm going to see who that might be and call them in to see if we can get you some help, Tony.
Okay,
I want to describe to you an image. Now, I have my eyes closed, and I'm seeing this image in the third eye, and it is a female, and she is asking me to tell you just to sit back and relax and see if you can imagine this also. So let's journey together, dear.
Okay.
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 In your third eye, see this image if you can. It is a young lady. And she is showing me that she has on her head a wreath of flowers. And they're sort of like spring flowers. There's a lot of white in there, a few little lavender ones. And it was something that she fashioned by hand in a circle. And there are ribbons hanging down the back of this wreath. She has long, light-colored hair. It's not real curly. It's kind of a little bit wavy, and the ends of it, of the hair, turn up. And as I, she has a very pleasant face. She's a pleasant personality. And as I see her gown, she is wearing what looks like a long gown. And the color of it is a very soft yellow. It's almost like between a yellow and a cream. It's almost hard to tell whether it's really yellow or really cream. It's that shade in between the two. Mm. Her dress is like an ampere waistline. I think you know what that is.
Yeah.
Yes. And she has these little puffy sleeves at the top of her shoulders, like it was a short sleeve dress, except it, the rest of the sleeve is very close to her arm. Mm. And she has something in her hand, and it is sitting on her finger. It is a dove. Mm. And she takes the dove is all white. And she takes the dove on sitting on her finger, and it, she brings it up to her cheek, and she kind of touches the dove's head on her cheek. And so my question to you, darling, have you been following along with this?
Yes.
Do you see her?
Mm-hmm.
This is your higher self. This is your higher self, sweetheart. She has come here at this moment so that you can make connection with her. She is there waiting for you to communicate because she has things to tell you and you have things to tell her. And she says it is time for you to begin your mission. So, Tony, as you look at her, what are your emotions right now? What are you feeling?
Nervous, kind of.
Nervous?
Yeah, a little bit, just a little.
Is like this nervous excitement?
Yes, nervous excitement, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yes.
Like, I'm ready. I want to tell her I'm ready. And
you've already told her you're ready, darling.
Mm-hmm.
So, Tony, I want you to go back at the moment of your choosing, and you communicate with your higher self. She's there waiting for you. And call me back. Let me know how you're doing.
Okay.
You think you can do that?
I think so.
Okay, because you have a mission. You've got an important mission. And your soul is edging you on to begin that mission to awaken. This is your awakening call. So what we've done, darling, is we've set a little alarm clock for you. It's going off.
Ding, ding.
Ding, ding. It's right. Yes. You're being called to awaken. You call me back. Let me know how you're doing, because if you're not I really think you're going to be able to communicate with your higher self after this. But if you're not, call me back. We'll give you another tool. And if you do and you have a marvelous session with her, let me know.
Okay.
Okay?
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much.
Oh, before you go, something that you might want to do is just look at my website, carolynevers.com.
Mm-hmm.
Up in the top right-hand corner is conference calls. We have conference calls with the Masters, with Archangel Michael, Master Kasumi, Yeshua, Mother Mary, and they come and they are given some incredibly wonderful teachings. And, of course, one of the things that we do there is they're developing our spiritual gifts. They are working with us to help us see into the other side. And we're also doing planetary service. The energies that come down to the participants, we, in essence, what we're doing is sending them into the center of the planet, and we're also reflecting them back up to the grid system.
Right.
And these energies are helping to hold back the dark, and is also helping people to accept peace and love and prosperity, to accept the light. So you might look at that, Tony, and if you feel so inclined, if your soul prompts you to do that, join us. I think you would, for anybody that is stuck, what you learn there is just so incredibly wonderful. And that's the one that is the fourth Thursday of the month.
Okay.
So bless you, Tony.
Okay. Thank you so much, and you too.
Okay, dear.
Bless you. Thank
Bye.
You so much. Bye-bye.
Well, my friends, that was a nice way to start the show. I'm always glad to assist someone along these lines. As I said to Tony, this is the time of the awakening. I have been very blessed in the sense that so much information comes out of these conference calls that I have witnessed, and also in reading the Akashic Records. That is the records of all the souls from the moment that they were created by Source until the present moment. The energies, the vibrations of these records gradually make their way up to the center of the cosmos, and the cherubim keep them in trust for each individual. And at times when Source, all there is, God, asks for a particular record, then the cherubim turn it over to God. That is one group of cherubims that work with the records, and these are the records that we are reading from. And the information that has come out of these readings have been so remarkable. And so this is something that I wanted to continue working with. The information that has come from the records with regards to the cherubim. We have found out that on the conference calls, cherubim are gathering there, messengers from the Elohim, light workers. And so many cherubim are coming for readings. And at first, it's hard for a person to think, oh, my golly, how in the world could I be a cherubim? I don't see any wings on my back. I just look like anyone else that you would pass on the street. And, yes, the cherubim have a form that is just like any other human being. And when they left the center of the cosmos, they had to come down through all of so many dimensions to get here. And as Archangel Michael explained it, the electrons in the higher areas, the spacing between the electrons is much greater, so that when you come down to this very dense area, all of the abilities, all of the parts of the soul are not able to, like, squeeze into these very small particles. So the abilities, many of the abilities were shorn or left off at the different dimensions as the cherubim came down to Earth. And so when they incarnated as a human being, They needed help of other cherubim who stayed in the higher realms, supporting them, holding the space, and inspiring them to do the many jobs that they had to do. In earlier programs, I mentioned that we had two legions of cherubim, which is over 20,000 cherubim, who right now are in the awakening stage. I know people who ask for readings, they have no idea that they are a cherubim. They just know that they had this urge to order a reading. Their soul was prompting them, because now is the time of their awakening. Just like others are awakening, they need to awaken. The messengers from the Elohim need to awaken, because there are choices that people have to make. They can reincarnate on Earth for another 200,000 years. Oh, my golly, what a commitment. We did that. I don't know that I want to do that again. Or they can follow Archangel Michael as he is working on the Golden Galaxy. And for those cherubim who wish to go home, the energies are here now that they can go back to the center of the cosmos. And when they came, you see, it's easier to come down through the dimensions to a dense planet than it is to get back. And they were called when Mardak was destroyed, because they are masters of vibration. They were called here to resolve a problem, so that instead of implosion, where all of the particles of Mardak would implode upon one another, what ultimately happened is that there was an explosion. And Mardak, the pieces of the Mardak, is what is in the asteroid belt. Now, I will say to you, if you have this sense of longing or this sense of sadness when you hear about Mardak exploding, there is a possibility that you are one of the cherubim, because that was a great part of this mission. It's why we were called. And I'll get back to this after I take this other call. And your name, please.
Hi, Carolyn. My name is Catherine. I called recently, and you said to call back.
What is your name, dear?
Catherine.
Oh, Catherine. Okay, Catherine. Thank you.
You had said to call back and ask for the construct of my soul.
The construct of your soul?
Yes.
Okay. And I'm glad to do this, Catherine. Why did you want to know this? I'm just curious.
Well, you told me. I first called because I was curious if I was a messenger or a cherub, and you said I was a messenger of the Elohim.
Okay.
And I was connected with Pleiades.
Yes, a lot of them are.
And I guess we didn't have enough time or something, so you suggested I call back and ask further about the construct of the soul, I believe you said.
That word doesn't ring a bell to me. I'm glad to be of service. Let's see what is the best way. Okay, I'm trying to think what's the most, what information would be the most beneficial to you right now? Let me see. What I'm doing is I'm tuning into the Seven Sisters of Pleiades and seeing if there is a message there for you.
Okay.
Actually, what I am seeing looks like a panel of people. In other words, there is a group. And there is one who wishes to speak for the group. And the Pleiades was one of the star systems that sent many of its representatives here to Earth at the request of the Elohim. I probably told you the last time that the Elohim, that there were a group of individuals who worked to bring forth this solar system. and it was the Elohim, of course, and that's all that we know of as Jesus or Yeshua, though that isn't his soul name. And then there was a council, a galactic council that they worked with, and the council provided members from their different star systems to come and fulfill certain jobs here in this planetary sphere. And that is why they are called the messengers of the Elohim, because they were asked by the Elohim, or it was like an indirect route, that the Elohim asked for the Galactic Council to provide the talents of certain people. And of course they went back to their planetary sphere, and that one that represented the council, that was on the council, that represented the Pleiades, volunteered your services along with a lot of others.
Right.
Of course, I'm not sure, Catherine, that you had your hand up.
Me either.
I think somebody said, you, you, and you.
That sounds about right.
This was an exceptionally, incredibly exciting time for those people who were creating, because the plan was much different as to how it eventually turned out. That's why Archangel Mikael is working on the Golden Galaxy, to put forth that world that was intended when this one was begun. Your star family is, I won't say the word is grieving for you, that's a little too strong, but the members of your family miss you. Do you ever feel sometimes when you look up at the stars at night that there is a yearning?
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Well, you
and I do that quite often when we go camping. The stars is just a major part of it.
Yes, because, my dear Catherine, you are a part of the stars, like so many people who are here on this planet right now, and your home planet is the Pleiades, the Seven Sisters, and you have family there, and you are, when someone looks at the stars and they're feeling this yearning, they are subconsciously remembering what the kind of life that they lived back there, so to speak. And we are coming to the end of this cycle where your commitment that was made for you is just about finished. And so you, along with the cherubim, you will have the right to go back. And it is a case of what they are telling you is, it is a case of preparing. The opportunity is there to go back home, but one has to prepare. And what they want you to do is to open up your mind and heart that you could communicate with them telepathically. Have you thought about this?
Yes, I have. And I've gone into meditation lots of times where I just had a overwhelming sense of being loved, and tears
yes.
would just, you know, come down my face. I am getting that more and more, but I guess I want more. I want to see them. I want to really get to
you
know.
You want it all.
What?
You know what? This is the time to get it all.
Right, right.
Okay. You see, this sense of love that you are feeling is their connection to you. And it's not just to you, but this is everyone. Every messenger here of the Elohim are feeling this thrall. And those from home, like I said, miss you, and they're trying to communicate with you, and they are communicating through through this line of energetic love that they are sending you. Now, when you feel this, what you do is, see, there's no right way or wrong way to do this. Just intend. And what you intend is, this love is like a string that they are sending to you. And when you feel this, just intend that you will follow this. Like it's a string that's being laid down on some path that you were following. It's just a simple thing. Mentally, you're going to do this. And to follow the string, and what you're doing is you are sending your energetic signature up through along the same string that they've sent down to you. It's sort of like they sent you, you know, one of these lifelines that they have on a ship.
Right.
You know, they throw it overboard. Well, they've thrown this lifeline down to you, and there is a part of you, your energy. You can connect to this, and you can follow that, and you will have an easier time communicating with them. In other words, just sit back, relax, just know that you can do it, and as it's a case of listening then. So just see yourself following. I mean, you can do all kinds of visualizations. You know how these kids used to have a radio? They'd take a tin can and put a rope on it and pretend they had a cell phone. I don't know if your kids did this.
I've seen it, though.
Yeah, it's an old thing. So just think, you know, I've got my little telephone right up to my ear, and I'm following the string, and then you will get more. You know, we talked to someone earlier. There is a sense of training here. You don't hear music and get up out of your chair and start dancing right away. You got to sort of learn some steps. And it is the same with these spiritual practices. You have to learn some of the steps. And just know that you can do it. Just know that it is available. Just know that you follow the string, and there it is.
Carolyn, can I ask you a question? Recently, I don't know if this has to do with that or not, I have had what I call a clicking in my left and my right ear. This is very recent. I've had tones before, and I have buzzing, but this is a clicking, and
a
it's
clicking?
Been within the last month. Would that be any kind of
indication? I don't
know.
Let me see. Okay. What did you hear before clicking? You said you heard tones?
Yes. Kind of a buzz or a tone, or I can't really describe it as well
okay,
as
so
what I hear now.
You've had some tones, you've had some buzzes, and now you're hearing clicking, and you want to know what that is. Is that a fair way to put this?
Yes.
Okay.
Is someone trying to communicate with me?
Well,
or is that...
I don't know. Let me see what they're saying about this. What they're saying is this tone and the buzzing is an avenue to the music of the spheres. All communication is the music of the spheres in one way or another. It is vibration. And so this was the entry point, that point where it is training the ear to hear. And the clicking that you are hearing is that next step along the way. Yes, it is they trying to communicate with you. And what is happening is there are entrance points that are being opened and trained in your physical body. The physical body is not necessarily designed of its own to be able to communicate in a clairaudient manner. It takes training. And so they were opening up the different, well, they're showing me like points that are being connected. It's almost like an electrical system because, you know, you don't really hear with the ear. The ear is the outward part of the organ that moves sound to the brain. It is the brain itself that makes sense of what you're hearing and puts it into words and meaning. And so it was this electrical wiring that had to be changed, and they are saying that it is a process. Just relax with it. Know that in time, because apparently, Catherine, it sounds to me like you will be clairaudient.
Okay.
You will hear them.
Okay. You just triggered something, too, when you said about the electrical wiring. When I wake up from the dream state, which is very, very lucid now and almost more real than my waking state, my body goes through this weird sensation. It's almost like electricity going through it. It's almost uncomfortable. And I've had the thought that it has to do with, like, being out of my body, gone somewhere type thing. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Well, you know, during sleep time, we're all out of our bodies.
Right.
You know, the soul cannot be contained in a moment of inactivity. It's unnatural for it. The body needs to rest and rejuvenate, but the soul needs to be moving and working and exploring and doing its job. So all of us in some fashion are working on the inner planes or even on the outer planes, further than the lower astral. We might even be working on the middle astral. The high astral might even be working inside the planet in the core, helping to heal and repair damages that have been done from such things, mechanical things that people on the earth are experimenting with. So there's a lot of work being done at night. And it would seem very strange to me if you were not working at night.
But the feelings of the kind of uncomfortable feelings of electricity, could that be just being rewired and worked on in the middle?
I don't know. Let me see if I can get an answer for you. I'm not getting an answer on that, Catherine. I think what it is I'm becoming fatigued right at the moment. It's harder for me to communicate with those from other planetary systems that I do not have a lot of experience with.
Right.
I mean, I can to a certain degree, and then the body gets tired. And so what I would suggest on that, Catherine, is call back either next Saturday or next Sunday with that question when I'm fresher.
Okay.
I know when I started doing the Akashic readings, it took a long time to get there eventually, in the very early stages, and it was a lot of work and a lot of energy getting back and forth. Now it's a little bit easier, but it takes a lot of energy, and people don't realize when you're doing this, especially when you're going off planet, it's a fatiguing thing. So call me back with that, dear.
I will.
Yeah, that rewiring, we'll get that answer for you.
Okay, thank you, Carolyn, so much.
My pleasure.
Blessings. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. And so getting back to this story, this is something else. Well, we kind of touched on this earlier. if you have an emotional charge of sadness or some kind of energy that you feel at the thought of Marduk being destroyed, there's a good chance that your cherubim who came with these two legions back at that time. Now, the reason that I brought this up is because, as I said, a lot of cherubim are asking for readings, and the information that comes from these readings is so fascinating. For instance, I'm trying to find this note that I have here, kind of got out of order. This is timing. You know, I've been very curious about when all this happened, because what the reading told this one individual is that she had come 500 million years ago to Earth on the Golden Ray with the Elohim to colonize Earth. And, you know, when we hear these years, there are some who believe that Earth is nowhere near that old, and some who believe that it's a lot older. And it was just fascinating when I did some research on the Internet about the age of Earth, because there are some groups that believe that the Earth was formed at 4004 BC. And, of course, the Hindus believe that the universe has endured for billions of years, being destroyed and recreated in an endless cycle. So there's a big difference between 4,000 BC and billions of years old. And something that you find out when you start doing this research, I've never done this before until I started doing this reading, but people are finding that some of the rocks are over 4 billion years old, which I thought was fascinating. In Western Australia, they have found rocks that are that old. The meteorites that are being formed within the solar system where they have fallen to Earth, they have found are over 4 billion years old. And then when you start to see some of the layers that is in some of the parks where these rivers have etched into beds of rock, and they look at that rock and they see this sediment going back from very ancient times into the billions of years, and you start to get some sense, well, here is something to this history as far as what the Earth is saying. So putting the destruction of Marduk, there's a good possibility that that was 500 million years ago. And so what was said in this reading is that when that Marduk was destroyed, that the plan then was to colonize Earth, but Earth wasn't ready for a habitation. It was still in the cooling stage. It was still convulsing from the many things that it had to go to before the Earth was ready for souls to colonize it. And during that particular time, from Marduk to the time when people could actually come to the Earth and inhabit the Earth, they had to go to a place. They had to be protected in some fashion. And so the way they tell the story is that there was a vortex created that some call the Golden Ray. It was God's energy that was made available to these souls until the Earth could be colonized. And so they lived in that vortex, and they watched the new planet that was cooling, that was being created, that they knew that they were going to settle on and colonize. And the concept was to bring forth God's will upon this new life that was being prepared. And as they are watching this, the necessary elements are being created to sustain life. And these souls were very carefully and lovingly brought to Earth while the experimentation was being completed to form a physical body suitable for the evolving souls. And we're going to talk about that next week, because what that is 200,000 years ago when Homo sapiens comes and is introduced into this planet is when these particular souls in the golden vortex finally are able to be implemented into form. So, my friends, this is an incredibly moving and evolving story. And if you would like to have some of your soul story, go to carolynevers.com and order a reading, and you'll see the lady there at the bottom, and it says Akashic Readings underneath, and there's a whole lot of information about the cherubim who were Templars. And so until we meet again and touch again next week, this is Carolyn Evers sending her love to all of you. So tune in next Saturday and next Sunday. Goodbye for now.